We're kind of living based on our feel of what's going on. It doesn't mean that your ship is sinking, okay? But it does mean that you could probably stand to be a little bit more proactive. Okay, so you'll see there, this comes from Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University, and you'll see there, you put down your incomes, planned, okay, in the case of those that have incomes that flux, just put down what is planned, okay, and then that's going to have to be adjusted throughout the month if it's less than planned, okay, and then you're going to list your expenses. That's pretty obvious what those are. I would always err on the high side in listing your expenses. We know that right now, cost of living. I mean, I went and filled two cars up with gas last night, and I spent, both of them were on, I mean, like below E. And in 20 minutes, I spent $170 in gas, something like that.
Whatever. Didn't go to Costco.
I did go to Costco. Oh. I did.
Man.
And I had grocery points and got 90 cents off a gallon on one of them.
You did a good job.
Okay?
Just my truck is like 100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay? So before long, we're going to be like the Flintstones with our feet.
Scooter down.
That's right. You're going to see us going down the road in a scooter, okay? Cost of living is high is the point of that conversation, okay? And then you just subtract your expenses from your income, and then track those expenses. And I will tell you, it takes about 4 months to really get a budget in order. So if you've never had a budget, it's going to take you about 4 months. But be intentional about it. And as Dave Ramsey said, nerds and free spirits unite. One of you is a financial nerd. One of you is a financial free spirit. It's the same church. Same, not that Heather's crazy, but she would probably be more the financial free spirit. I would be the nerd. Okay? The requirement is you must come to the budget meeting, both of you. That's the requirement. You cannot skip the budget meeting on a monthly basis. And you got to set the budget. Okay? And then, as you go through there, you're going to write down all of those expenses on the back, and you're going to see where you land. If you want to go the technological way, then use the Every Dollar app. I've got it on my phone. It's also done by Dave Ramsey. There's a free version of it. It just does not update itself real time. So if you download the Every Dollar app and you get the free version, you just have to manually put in your purchases as you make purchases. But you can connect you and your spouse's phone. So if Mikey goes out and gets a $100 lunch one day, his wife is going to see that. Does that make sense? And the same for you, all right? Mikey, right? Mike?
Mike.
Mike, okay. Your sons are Matthew and Malachi, right?
No, I'm Malachi.
You're Malachi. I apologize. There's a lot of M's. This family is the family of M's. All of them are M's. I'm getting. At least I didn't call you Maria. I apologize. So if Malachi goes out and spends, you know, that, then if you guys have that app, it would just update. If you do the paid version, which is a couple bucks a month, you just put in your credit card, or your debit card, and it just automatically, real time, keeps you updated. It subtracts from your budget, from that particular line item, and it just does it automatically. Okay? So, proactive planning. And so, when you guys have a budget that you both agree on, and you honor it, it's going to bring you so much closer together. That's the idea. Okay? But here's what happens. Without budgets, the emotions are higher and the stress is higher. The uncertainties are higher. Okay? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Here's the last thought. Shared faith. Shared faith. Here's the thought. Both of you need to have agreement and peace about your finances. Colossians 3:15 says this, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." The word rule there actually is our word for the word umpire. What does an umpire do in baseball, Devin?
He counts the outs.
Yeah, calls the outs, the balls, and the strikes. So when you are making decisions, wouldn't you rather the peace of God call the balls and strikes in your finances than you or your spouse? So what I'm saying is, don't make a decision until both of you have a peace from God. Don't go out and, you know, spend $10,000 on an all-inclusive vacation unless both you and your spouse agree. We have peace about doing that. Don't do that. Let God's peace be the thing that guides you. And a lot of decisions can simply be made by saying, I don't have God's peace about that. You say, well, you, now, and I understand people can use that as kind of a crutch, or saying, well, I don't have God's peace. You can tell when someone sincerely has prayed about it and thought about it versus someone just spouting off at the mouth saying, well, I just don't have the peace of God. So don't use it as just like this little quick little card that you play. Your spouse wants to spend money. Well, I just don't have peace about that. No. Walk with God. Ask God for wisdom and go forward. But don't go forward by yourself, because God doesn't see Kyle and Heather or Kim and Roel or Maria and Malachi or Rick and Candace or Devin and Victoria and Eddie and Ingrid and Mike and Lorena. He sees the Zamoras. He sees the Beccarolus. He sees the Schallenbergers. He sees the Lopezes. Okay? He sees, you know, each one of our families. All right? So God's peace is the way he guides us. And many decisions can be made that way. And what that brings me to is, and by the way, some people, we talk about the peace of God. We give our the first of what God gives to us back to the Lord. That's what we do. Now you say, well, we haven't been doing that. I would plead with you to do that, and here's why. Because God gave you 100% of what you have. You say, Kyle, you know, gas prices are up, groceries are up. I mean, we have family that live in, how many have family that live in other parts of the country? Other states? Anybody have people that live in other states? And you talk to them like, yeah, gas has gone down. Yeah. Groceries have gone down. Like, where are you living? not here. Okay? And I'm just simply saying that as those things go up, we want to make sure that we still give to God. That is not a discussion that Heather and I even have anymore of anything. Someone gives a nice little gift to us, we tithe off of that. Why? Are you trying to be legalistic? Is that going to get you to heaven? No, it's not getting us to heaven. But it does tell the Lord, we understand that everything that we have came from you. It lets God be the owner. Because he is. He's the owner. And I would encourage you. And as I said earlier, people don't come to Faith Baptist because some of you, you're not giving anymore. No, we can do that. This is not a golf club. This is a church. We ought to all say, I'm going to give to the Lord. I'm going to you know, let the Lord use what we have for his honor and for his glory. And when I say that, sometimes people can have like an orphan spirit. And that orphan spirit is caused by growing up without. Maybe you grew up with not a lot. And you grew up needing, and there was some poverty and tough things, and that happens. But don't have an orphan spirit. And they feel like they have to just get more and more and more and more because they remember a time in their life where they had nothing. Don't make God the one that comes out on the short end of that, is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? Just a little thought for us. So, let the giver in your relationship give. And the one that may not be the natural giver, learn from the giver. Learn from the giver. And it'll be a help to you. Okay? We know Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And prove me now herewith that I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you may be able to receive it. Did you know that the only thing the Bible tells us to ever test God on is with our money? Prove. That's what the word prove means. Test God. You say, well, I've never given to the Lord before. I would challenge you to test God and see that he would not meet your needs. Okay? Those are the main thoughts. Any other things that maybe came to your mind or questions? We're about done, but Heather, I didn't... Any other thoughts, questions? No?
Pastor Kyle, I do have one question on the proactive topic. Well, you said you're reactive decision-making, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I know that can come from not being proactive, but are there any other factors that can lead to you being reactive in your decision-making when it comes to your finances?
Yeah, I think impulsive buying is something that really affects reactive decision-making. Here's an impulse buying, okay? How many go to Costco? Raise your hand. All right. That is like the trap of all traps. I'm only talking for me, okay? I'm not talking for you, okay? It is, I mean, like, Heather and I, we've got a family of six, okay? So we could probably benefit from going to Costco, getting like 89 rolls of toilet paper or whatever, you know? Okay? But you go into Costco expecting to spend like, you know, $25, and you come out $125 later, right? because it was just such good deals, especially coming up on Christmas time. I mean, last year I was this close to buying the coolest Star Wars pinball machine. I was like right there. No, but you know, they have all these incredible things. All I would say is impulse buying forces you into more reactive decision making. So what I would say is, in lieu of our rain today, make sure that you save some money for a rainy day. That way you can avoid reactive decision making. If you're living life on the razor edge financially, you want to get off of that razor's edge. Like one thing goes wrong, and then all of a sudden, man, our month was just shot. You just want to try to avoid that. And a lot of times that might mean having a lesser standard of living. If that's what it means, it's worth that peace in your home to go without those things.
And sometimes like losing that big chunk in your income for whatever reason, tires, things that you didn't plan for, it takes longer to climb back than it was to just get that payment. Because then you're like, you still haven't recovered from that?
Yeah, it does. It takes a while. So,
I still got to tell her, we just only buy what we need, not what we want.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it, you know. And there, just remember, where you're at now is not where you're always going to be when it comes to finances. And I, you know, again, not trying to just use personal illustration, but we moved out here from Ohio with a 14-foot U-Haul, and we had a 1989 Honda Accord towed behind it, and everything in that U-Haul was given to us. I mean, it was all used. Used couch, used whatever, nothing was ours, because we were coming straight from college. And I remember a lot of times saying, we're not going out to eat. We both agreed on it, very rarely. And we were working with the young adults in our church. And one thing about young adults, they have money. Because if they have a job, they have no bills because they're living with their parents. And they have money. And every Friday night, we'd have a Bible study. Where are we going to eat? Colin and I were like, we're going to go have peanut butter and jelly. You know? And honestly, that was what it was like.
I was like, you sure about that?
I mean, that's what it was for, I mean... Yeah, and I understand it was 2002, which was 23 years ago. But I think those same principles still work today. Our money, the numbers were a lot different back then, but the numbers have climbed, even though maybe the income has climbed. So it's still the same principles. I hear people say this, well, yeah, you know, when you got your house, it was a lot cheaper. And I understand that, and I get that. And I understand the climate that we're living in. I fully get that. But I still think we're responsible to follow those same conservative financial principles that would maybe one day put us in a place if God opened up an impossibility for a person to say, man, I think we might be able to put a down payment on that. So just be ready so you're not having to be reactive. Does that make sense? I think in California, we've all just kind of, you know, given up.
It's just never going to happen. Not making reactive decisions and the whole budget thing, or even what Candace is talking about when something happens that, you know, sets you back and you're trying to dig out and you decide that something's got to go, somewhere it's got to be cut back, that, you know, each of you pick a spot and you're not picking the other person's spot. You pick your spot and let him pick his spot, not picking each other's, but where, you know, where you can make the change in you and then let the other person do that instead of...
So to use our examples earlier, Mike does not get to choose coffee to save money. Don't touch my spot, right, Lorena? I'm just joking around you guys. I know him well. But I think that's a great thought. Because it's easy to go after what your spouse enjoys and you don't value as much.
No, she's right, because I learned a lot of things I like. Like working on my cars and things like that. So I was like, you know, I got to let go of all that stuff and focus on the important stuff first so we can get back up. Because when you just focus on you, then everything starts just falling apart.
And I have watched that in Rick and Candace's life. I've known you guys since 2019, 6 years. And he had some cool cars. He did. And I've watched him say, you know what, for the benefit of our family, it's not about the cool car anymore. It's about providing for my home. And I praise the Lord for that. That's leadership. So, any other thoughts? Questions? Have I bored you to death with money talk? Let's go have lunch. All right, you guys? Thanks for coming to the least desirable topic.
This is an awesome class. I will give you a question.